Harvest Children's Church.
Good morning. Good morning. I tell you, you know, I love my son, Christopher. I love all my kids. They're all great kids, you know. Especially the ones that are looking at me right now. Yeah, you know. Yeah. And my in-law kids, you know. But I miss Chris when on the Sundays when he's gone and I'm playing guitar. And I just thank God that he's not gone that often. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I enjoy worshiping, and I enjoy it more. You know, it's a little harder for me to worship when I'm playing, and I really enjoy celebrating God, and I love it in this house. I love it in this room. We celebrate the Lord, and God has often blessed us with a real sense of his presence and grace as we worship. And that's a big part of what I think leads a lot of us to Christianity and holds us in it, is this idea of, you know, I can always come and find strength among God's people. I can pray with them, worship with them, and I find a strength. And I know that, you know, when I think back, like, why did I, you know, start off, and why was I so dedicated to Christ when I first started? And that was a big part of it. It was like, you know, the Holy Spirit filled my heart, and I just, man, I love to preach. I love to sing. I love to praise God. And there was just such strength that came out of that. And I think for a lot of people, that is, you know, what leads us to remain in Christ and to be in Christ. And it's a sustaining force in our being, because the Spirit of God inhabits his praise and such. But there is something that is more important than worship. And it's going to be something that's probably going to, you know, you ever hear the expression stepping on toes? I'm going to stomp on your digits. I'm going to break some bones, and I'm going to grind them down, you know? Because this is a thing that we don't necessarily want to deal with, okay? This is a thing we don't want to deal with. And it's, turn around. Everybody look behind you. Anyway, that's the problem right there. You see it? Do you see it? Do you see it? Each other. That's right. Each other. That's the problem. That's the problem, man. If it was just me, if it was just me and God, everything would be so cool. But I gotta be with you and you and you and you, you know, and that's the problem. And we don't want to face that one. We'd rather just, I call it a phone booth religion. I wanna stand in a vertical pose and I'm gonna talk to God. It's just me and God. That is probably one of the most dangerous thoughts that you can have. If you start thinking that it's just you and God, you have really missed Christianity. You have really missed what Scripture tells. As a matter of fact, you know, we've talked about, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, and where he said, you are the light of the world. What did that mean? You all are the light. It's not a singular you. It's you all are the light of the world. As a matter of fact, 90% of the places where the Bible says you, it is not you singular, it is you plural. God is not into individualism. He's into pluralism. He's into the idea of us being a people of God. And Jesus, in talking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's sharing, you know, things. First, he talked about the qualities of character, right? Blessed are those who mourn, right? Those kinds of qualities, right? And among those qualities is blessed are the merciful, blessed are the peacemakers, okay? The merciful will receive mercy, the peacemakers will be called the children of God. That becomes a real part of this idea. The other part is, again, as he goes through the Beatitudes, the quality of Christian life. And then he talks to us about you all are the light of the world. In other words, as well as we live those out, we show others what Christ is supposed to look like, what Christianity is supposed to look like, right? So, and then he starts talking to us about righteousness. He says, I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to the judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Oh, Well, first of all, last week we talked about this idea of hypocritical righteousness. And hypocritical righteousness is that which is done for the benefit of others. It's just what you see, right? It's just, you know, I'm going to be good as long as you're looking at me, and you have no idea what's underneath. You don't know what's in my heart. You don't know. You know, I really I don't like political speech, like the political correctness, the stuff, because sometimes it's so, it lacks genuine character quality to it. I know when people are being, you know, their words are very nice and pleasant, but you just know they don't mean it. I really don't like that. I would rather have sincerity, right, from people. If you don't like what I'm saying, tell me you don't like what I'm saying. You know, don't try to pull the wool over my eye. I can tell, you know, by the scowl on your face. You really don't like what I'm saying, you know. Hypocritical religion is that, or righteousness, is that which is portrayed in front of other people. It's like, you know, I'm going to walk around, you know, with these things in my heart, hatred and self-love, and I'm just, you know, I'm seething inside, but because I never do any, I don't punch you, I'm really good. And I'm going to even be able to pretend that I'm okay with you, right, even though I want to kill you, right? That's not right. That's not. So that's the hypocritical. What's a hypocrite? How many of you know? A hypocrite is an actor. Yeah, so like Tom Cruise is a hypocrite. That's his job. He's the word literally, hypocrite, means actor. It was the Greek word for an actor. And so when we pretend to be righteous, he says, you're just like the Pharisees. He says, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. We talked about this last week, how what God is looking for is a righteousness that reaches deep down into who we are, not just what we do on the surface, not the tip of the iceberg that people might see, but who are you? That's what God looks at, the little, you know, from you got hatred and self-love. That's what God sees. God looks into the depth of who you are. He looks at what you are. And that really is what he's interested in. He's not interested in a pretense of righteousness. He wants real righteousness. So Jesus makes that clear, because what was happening was, again, the Pharisees were acting like they were righteous. They were acting like they were okay. And Jesus said, unless you do better than they do, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. You will not be able to move into God's house. You have to be really right inside. So Jesus expounds on this, and he says, listen, you know, and again, look at this list. He says, you know, if you say, you fool. No, let's go the other way. He says, I, you know, you just hate someone. You don't say anything. You just hate them. Just, you know, you just got that bad feeling in your heart, right? That hatred is part of you. It's there, and you hate that person. And then you say, yeah, that guy's a blockhead. He's an airhead, right? A bonehead. Now, Jesus says, if you say that, if that comes out of your mouth, that was you got the hate. He says the hatred brings you where you need, you might be brought into court and accused of a crime of hatred. He says, if you say, that guy's a bonehead. Does that sound terrible? Really? I don't think. You know, old bonehead. He's a bonehead, you know. Jesus said that causes you to go to the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin. Just thinking, and again, this is something, this isn't like in play, you know, where you know, Barb calls me a bonehead. She doesn't mean it. She's, you know. That's just it. But no, this is like, because I'm angry at someone, I'm going to literally say, you know, you're just a bonehead and mean it. Like, you know, that angry, you know, you're name calling, right? That he says that can bring you to the Supreme Court. And then if you say, you idiot, you moron, you fool, that could put you in hell. Now you think about what Jesus is doing, because if you look at that, you would say, you know, well, yeah, I think hatred's bad. Bonehead, okay, you know, yeah. You idiot, that sends you to hell? What's he saying? He's saying murder, while murder is a terrible thing, and every law under the sun, every country who has laws under the sun, they all say murder is wrong. Everybody knows murder is wrong. But murder is the tip of the iceberg. What he says is, in effect, kingdom righteousness gets a lot deeper than murder. And just the idea that you have a hatred for somebody so bad that you would call them a name or call them an idiot or have that kind of feeling towards them, he says that puts you in danger of being separated from God. Now think about that. Think about that. Think about the people that have, you know, rubbed you the wrong way. Think about the people that have done dirt to you. You know, one of the things I find that is really interesting and sad about Christians is we have a hard time forgiving people. And that is a terrible, terrible thing. We have a hard time forgiving people. We have a hard time letting things go in mercy. And remember, one of the attitudes, one of the characteristics of a Christian is blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who are merciful to each other. Listen, if you think about it, you know, where would you be without the mercy of God? If God took every bad thought you had, every bad attitude you had, every bad feeling you had, if God took every bad action you did and he listed it out on a board in front of you and then put that down on you and pointed his holy finger at you, where would we be? How condemned would we be? How guilty would we be? Blessed are the merciful. See, I know that God has taken that whole slate of all those things and he nailed it to the cross at Calvary and he destroyed the power of that sin so that it no longer has hold on me. And he has said, Randy Brown, you are free. You are free. But do you know that now he expects me to be the same towards you? He expects me to be as merciful to you as he has been to me. And so, you know, if you're going to say things about me or do things to me, or whatever, you know, God expects me to have the same kind of mercy and not say, well, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget it. One of my favorite verses about the cross, the power of the cross, it's actually a quote from Jeremiah in Hebrews 10, and he says, God will never, ever remember our sins. Never, ever remember. That's the kind of forgiveness I want from God. I don't want God to say, well, Randy, I got this whole book of junk that you did. I got it piled up from here to here. You know, it's 6 feet tall and that wide, and I'm going to let it go, but I'm going to kind of keep it in my mind, and I'm going to keep an eye on you, you know. And I'm going to let it go, but I'm going to hold it there. And I might drop it on you at any time. That is not the mercy of God. That is not the kindness of God. That is not what I hope for in the kingdom of heaven. That is not what God has promised me. God has promised me that whole volume of all those things has been wiped out by the blood and power of the cross of Jesus Christ. And he says, I will never, ever remember that anymore. And he expects that from you and me. So he doesn't expect us to be walking around angry at each other, hating each other, seething, saying bad things about each other, right? He expects us to be more like he is. So Jesus sets up this standard of righteousness that is totally unique. The people had never heard anything like this. They'd never seen anything like this. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, they said they never heard a teaching like Jesus' teaching. He taught as one who had authority, who knew what he was talking about. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven, and there's a standard in the kingdom of heaven of righteousness that's not just a surface righteousness, not something you pretend to be. It's about being transformed in our inner being. So he says that. And then he goes on. He says, therefore, if you're offering your gift, if you're in church worshiping and it's, you know, it's that time of the week and you're ready to get your praise on, you know, you're really ready to celebrate Jesus and hear the word of God. He said, if you're taking your offering, you're about to whip out your wallet and drop your whole month's check into there. Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. You got bills to pay. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you. Now this brings it into the family of God when he uses the word brother. Okay, this isn't, listen, you know, there's a lot of sinners out there. There's a lot of troublemakers out there. There's a lot of institutions out there. There's a lot of stuff out there that we're going to have trouble with. Some of it is because they deny Jesus Christ. Some of it is because, you know, the enemy's in their heart and they're going to, you know, attack, you know, righteousness. Some it's out there, right? And that's not what he's talking about. He's not saying, you know, we need to be careful. We need to be kind. We need to be good, you know. But, you know, we need to be meek, I guess is the best word, kind, gentle. But here he's talking about your brother has something against you. Your brother's angry with you. Your brother's got something in his heart that's not right. He says, if you're going to worship and you realize that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go be reconciled to your brother. The horizontal relationship between us and God is not something that is separate from the vertical relationship. I'm sorry, vertical with God, horizontal with brothers and sisters. We have to love one another. We have to care about one another. We have to be there for one another. We have to be the salt, not me the salt, we the salt. We have to be the light, not I the salt, us the light, right? It's us. It's we. It's not me and I. And if we're bickering and fighting and hating and talking bad about each other, you know, it's a terrible thing because it happens too often. You know, just look at this is the list from Galatians of what's in a human by nature, right? Who are we? As you know, before Jesus Christ has anything to do with us, these are just the ones that fit our text. You got hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. That's the kind of person I want to be hanging with, right? But that's what Scripture says we are by nature. If Christ doesn't work in our hearts, if Christ doesn't do something inside of us, that's what we are. And think about how many squabbles, how many fights, how many arguments, how much anger, and how much talking can go on in that kind of a heart. That's the natural tendency. The natural tendency is, you know, somebody says something, somebody does something, let's talk about him. Let's run him down. You know, that bonehead, where am I? I'm in the Sanhedrin already, you know. That idiot, now I'm ready for hell. Do you see? Do you see how by nature we can end up being separated from God because we let those kinds of energies work in our heart, work in our soul, work in our lives and lead us against God and lead us against the righteousness of God that Jesus says we must have? It's really something that needs to be worked on, isn't it? We need the grace and power of Jesus Christ to change. So what does he say? He says, literally, he says, before you give your offering, he literally says, go up first and dialogue with your brother. And dialogue means to talk through. You know, I as a pastor who's been in a church for 25 years, the church keeps changing. You know, people come and go. Some go happily to do other things, and some go stomping their feet. They don't tell us why. They're just angry. And they got something to say, but never to us, never to me. That's a tendency, right? How many marriages break up? You know, how many marriages break up? You know, and we never really sit down and talk about it. Do you know that most people, before they get a divorce, they go to a lawyer? They don't go to a pastor. I won't even throw in counselors because, you know, half of them have 10 divorces. And what do you do with them for anyway? They don't go to a pastor and say, you know, we're having problems in our marriage. And, you know, whether it's because of pride or whether there's too much anger or whatever it is, and they know they're wrong and they're not going to get what they want if they get it right. But my goodness, folks, we're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be showing others how it's done. And do you know there are as many divorces in Christian marriages as there are in non-Christian marriages? We set no difference. We set no different standards. We do church the same way. We do relationships the same way. We get angry with somebody, we just, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And what's even worse today, and I wish some of our young folks, we got a lot of our young folks aren't here today, they'll get it by through the interweb and stuff. But what's even worse today, you don't even, if you got something to say, you don't even go face to face and dialogue. I'm going to get my text. I'm going to text you. Send. There, I got you. You know? I'm going to text it. I'm going to email it. It is the most cowardly, it is the most cowardly way to carry on an argument. I know pastors and, you know, pastors are often hurt because that's what people do. You know, I can't imagine some of these guys that have churches of 5,000, you know. What do you do when 5,000 people going on their text and, you know, bam, and I really didn't like what you said this week. You know, you got to have a real thick skin to get through that. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, don't, you know, you're not trying to fire shots. You're not trying to name call. You're not trying. He says, go and talk it out. First question I ever asked someone, you know, I got a problem with so-and-so. And I said, have you told so-and-so? Because if you haven't told so-and-so, you don't have any right to bring it to me. Don't you dare try to bring a problem to me that you haven't taken to the person you have a problem with. That's biblical. That's scripture. Don't come and try to tell me, well, such and such and so-and-so did this. Uh-uh. Don't tell me that. That's why people don't come to me. Because they know I'm telling, no, don't do it. You go there. Don't come to me. I'm not here to you know, take your gossip about someone else and make you feel better about what's going on in your heart. You need to go and deal with that person face to face. Talk through. Now, sometimes that's not going to happen. I mean, you know, literally. But if I try to talk through with somebody, I know that I've done what I'm supposed to do. Some people are going to still hate you. Some people are going to still be angry with you. Some are going to still call you a bonehead. And sometimes maybe we are boneheads, you know. But we should at least do what is righteous. When we've got a problem with somebody, we should go to them. Dialogue, talk through with them the problem. I got a problem with this. Too many times, whether it's in family, whether it's in church, whether it's in marriage, no matter, you know, what, where the context is, when you're dealing with people, it's hard. It's hard. Ruth Slusher, God bless our mother, Ruth Slusher, she told me years ago, when we were having our early struggles, you know, with church life. And she says, working with people is the hardest thing that you can do in this world. And it is true. And you know, I don't care where your job is. If you're working with people, you know it's true. As God's people, Jesus tells us the thing that is more important than worship is how you work through problems with each other. With brothers and sisters, how do you work through it? Do you attack? Do you get a lawyer? Do you abuse them to somebody else? Do you text them and hide? Do you email? Or do you go to them and say, you know, I had a brother do this to me. Came up to me, something had happened in a thing, and And he came up to me and he says, you know, I need to talk to you. Because he'd heard something like this before from me. He says, you said, you know, when we got a problem, we need to. I said, okay, go ahead. What is it? And he told me about the problem. And we talked about it. And you know, we agreed. I was wrong. Nobody thought that was funny. I guess it just seems so possible, huh? We agreed that I was wrong. And we were friends. And we continue to be friends. And he knows, and I know, that anything that happens between, we will go and talk to each other. And as friends, we will say, hey, you know, this thing. Can we deal with that? Yeah. That makes us Christian. There's not enough of that. And it's really, you know, seriously, it's really wonderful. I was thinking about if it were just our folks here, if we got folks of faith, but you guys do this too. Just say, make a commitment among yourselves. Say, you know what? Whatever happens, How many ever toes get stepped on or words get said or things happen, whatever happens, let us resolve that we will not go and talk to a friend or go talk to somebody else, but we will talk to that person first. And we will dialogue. We will talk through with that person first before we go anywhere else or do anything else. Because what we really want to do is establish the strength and the connection and the maturity of the body of Christ rather than tear it apart with our tongues. You know, when Paul says, don't you know that you are the body of Christ because the Holy Spirit dwells in you? A lot of people think that was about smoking or something. He was talking about people tearing apart the church with their tongues. And he said, if you destroy the body of Christ, you will be destroyed. That's a singular you and a plural. Let's be careful how we treat one another. Let's do our best to keep unity, to keep peace, to keep the body of Christ strong enough that we can indeed show the world, hey, you know what? We're different. We can make mistakes and we can get through it. We can hit bumps and we can get over it. Not because we're so good, but because the Lord Christ who died for us has put a righteousness in us and an awareness in us and a power in us so that we can be better. So we can be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So we can show others how it should be done. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will help us indeed. In all these ways that make us better, make us more your people, make us more the saints of God and the church of God and the salt of this earth and the light of the world so that we can indeed have a good witness and show that there is a way through Jesus Christ that's better. Amen.